good Thursday. Thanks for joining us. We're on the road, Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. Today from Tucson with the University of Arizona Wildcats Stadium, the Lowell Stevens Football Facility. We are here in Tucson covering the U of A because no one else does in the Valley. That's the way it works. Sports360AZ, we're Arizona-centric. Coming up on the program, we'll be joined by a couple of the players, some of the people around the U of A football program. I just saw Rich Rod last week and did 20 minutes with him out of Pac-12 Football Media Day, so he's excused. And then the quarterbacks are the quarterbacks. They don't have a decision. I don't think they're going to have a decision down here on the quarterbacks until probably about the third game of the season is my guess. Because, you know, they open up with UNLV, and then they have UTSA, and then they have Nevada. They don't have a conference game until September 20th when they play Cal. And let's be honest here, Cal is not very good. So if you're Rich Rodriguez, there's not going to be any hurry to say this is going to be the guy. It's just not the way it is. Their first game is 22 days away, 3 weeks from tomorrow night here, taking on University of Nevada, Las Vegas. That's a national game on ESPN. But we're excited to be here in Tucson. The people here at U of A are terrific. They had people waiting for us, put us in great spot. What do you need? What can we do to help you? The staff here is terrific. And they asked Eric a little bit about the honeymoon. I'm glad you decided to come along today.
Yeah, you also forgot that they sent a limo up to Phoenix to pick us up this morning, and we were drinking mimosas in the back of the limousine.
Very nice of them.
No, not really. We were just kind of schlepping our way down the I-10 as we usually do.
The helicopter that came in and picked us up today, and no.
Rich Rod's private jet?
That didn't happen either.
That's all right. We'll let it slide this time.
You know,
it is great to be down in Tucson, and we always get treated very well by the people here at U of A.
No, we do. We're having lunch today with Greg Byrne. Very nice of Greg to move some things around in his schedule, from my understanding, to have lunch with us and find out what's going on in the Valley and what's happening with us and all that. So there's a lot going on down here, and as we are big into the college football scene, today here in Tucson, next week I'll be at Camp Tonizona doing shows Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and the scrimmage on Saturday with Arizona State. So for you Sun Devil nitwits that are sending me notes today about why are you a traitor, well, first of all, I didn't go to ASU, so I'm not a traitor. That's A. B, it's all about balance because there's a lot of things going on in Arizona, not just who's the third string right tackle for the Cardinals for 40 minutes, endless, mindless debates, not doing that. And, yeah, I think down here, this is a big season down here. I think you've got to start to turn the corner here a little bit. And I thought they did last year. You know, they went into the bowl game. Trey Griffey's going to join us a little bit later on in the show. Ken Griffey Jr.'s son, Trey, had a couple of touchdowns against Boston College. They've got a very good receiving core down here.
Some think it won the best in the country. Well, problem is who's going to throw them the ball, but that's their problem to figure out. They have like 9 quarterbacks.
Right. So I think, Eric, if you look at, they should be 4-0. And then they go play at Eugene against Oregon. And that's a Thursday night game on October 2nd.
Tough.
Well, especially after what happened to Oregon down here last year.
Right.
You know, there's a little bit of payback. There's a little bit of, you guys really embarrassed us and humiliated us.
I will say this, though. Crazy things happen in those Thursday night games.
Well, that's true.
Expect the unexpected.
Well, and U of A will be coming off a bye. So UNLV, UTSA, Nevada, Cal, bye week, Oregon.
They should be 4-0, you're right.
4-0, and there's going to be some people that will be giving them some votes for the top 25 because they don't know any better, or they just roll right through these teams, right? But look, if you're Rich Rodriguez, why would you say today Connor Brewer or Anu Solomon, or Jesse Scroggins, why would you say any of these guys? There's no reason to. And it's a really fascinating conversation. Let's get you caught up on some things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top, in the beautiful White Mountains. There's people here in Tucson that head up to the Honda Resort and Casino. Of course, there's people in the Valley across the state that listen to Sports360AZ.com and listen to the Brad Sussmat Show that head up to the Honda Resort and Casino. Why? You can get away from the hot temperatures into the cool pines in the White Mountains, pull down the slots, eat some great food, have some fun, and do it at the Honda Resort and Casino. Stay there and enjoy your long weekend. The Honda Resort and Casino, again, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. There's a lot going on in state that's of interest to me. Some of it is repetitive. I don't know. The Diamondbacks lost again last night. Enough of that. On the recruiting front, Arizona State made the final five for Christian Kirk, which I think is a pretty good story.
Final six.
Final six, I'm sorry.
Final six, that's right.
Final six. It's ASU, UCLA, USC, Auburn, Ohio State, Texas A&M. I got that right, right? Didn't leave anybody out.
You did. You did. And there's an exclusive interview that Jared Coe and I did with Christian Kirk right now up on sports360az.com. He spoke to us before the Sabercats took the field yesterday in Scottsdale.
And then the Cardinals have their preseason game against the Texans on Saturday night. I talked about that yesterday quite a bit about the position battles and what to look for in preseason games. The starters will go about 15 plays. I don't think the Texans are going to bring much of their A game. So it's really about guys trying to prove what they're all about. And you could get excited about them in August, and usually by the time you get to midseason, none of these guys are playing or they're on special teams. But it's preseason football. I myself tonight, because I sleep with a Chargers fan, because I kind of like sleeping with a Chargers fan for 25 years, I'm going to be forced tonight to watch the Chargers in preseason football against the Cowboys. Now, here's why I'm married to a Chargers fan. She says to me last night, we don't need to watch more than like 15 or 20 minutes of that, though. I got other things I need to do. That's why I'm married to that woman, because she is so smart about the nonsense of preseason football. But so we'll watch some of it tonight. It'll be fine. Actually, I wouldn't mind seeing some of the Broncos playing Seattle tonight. Wouldn't mind some of that. You know, if the Broncos decide to come out with three wides, Wes Welker, one back, go after Seattle a little bit, then I think it's pretty much saying the game is on. We haven't forgotten how you absolutely crushed us. If they come out with two backs set and they've got their second and third stringers out on the field, then I think we all know what's going to be happening in that game. So it'll be fun. It'll be. I think there's actually a little bit of intrigue around that. On a serious note, tomorrow night, the Saints are playing the Rams tomorrow night. And I bring this up simply because context. I'm real big into context. So Greg Williams is the Saints' former defensive coordinator. Once praised for guiding the defense in New Orleans to a Super Bowl win, he is going to coach his first game as the Rams' defensive coordinator. You have Greg Williams against Sean Payton. Now, I'm guessing there's not going to be any pregame standing out on the field saying, hey, Greg, how's it going? Well, Sean, it's fine. How about you? I don't think there's going to be any hug and kissing going on between Greg Williams and the Saints linebacker coach Joe Vitt. Probably not going to be much of an eye contact either. Here's the thing on that. When you're Greg Williams and it's your first time out, you know every last eyeball is going to be on you. But you also have to think that somewhere in the back of that man's mind is, I would really like to take out somebody, anybody over on the Saints after what happened to me. And so when the game is over and Sean Payton runs across the field to meet Jeff Fisher to shake hands, could we see a blindsided Greg Williams? No, we probably won't. Okay, I'm not going to take it that far. Payton was suspended for all of the 2012 season. Remember this with the bounty scandal. After he was reinstated in the NFL, he said he had no desire to talk with Greg Williams. Payton did say a few months later he didn't regret hiring Williams, saying the 2009 staff established what they did couldn't be taken away from them. So there's that storyline that I don't think I'm reaching too far on that, but that's interesting to me. Tiger's out on the course today. Eric, have you seen a score on Tiger yet?
Last time I saw he was plus +3.
Yeah. So he is playing today, and that's a terrific story for sports. Plus +3, so he's going to be hovering right around where tomorrow he's going to need to shoot under in order to make the cut. I wouldn't want to see Tiger Woods roll out onto the course at less than 100% because it's a major. It's the last major of the year, so our lasting impression of his 2014 campaign is him not making it. Here is Tiger Woods earlier on his health situation.
I feel good. You know, once the bone's put back in, it's all good. So the inflammation's been down. I've got range of motion. As you saw out there, I got my speed. I got my power. And just need to obviously just keep it up.
Tiger Woods on the golf course layout at Valhalla.
It feels great to be back here. The fans are enthusiastic, as you can see out there. They're loud. They're into it. It's a totally different golf course than what I played in 2000. These greens are all different. I mean, I had my book from 2000. It's useless.
So he's at plus three right now. So we'll follow that as the show moves on today. One other huge story today, and this is one of those that's coming to a conclusion, and I'll tie the Suns on this pretty simply. So the Timberwolves are going to trade Kevin Love, and he's going to be joining LeBron James. The story is, in the last hour or so, Fox Sports Ohio put it out last night, but it's been confirmed today by Adrian Wojnarowski. And Adrian Wojnarowski confirmed something. It's done. So Kevin Love is going to be joining LeBron James. The deal is going to send Andrew Wiggins and Anthony Bennett and a protected first-round draft pick to the Timberwolves. The Cavs will be able to get Kevin Love. Love will opt out of his contract next summer. He'll re-sign with the Cavaliers, 5 years, $120 million. He's only 25 years of age. This deal, again, speaks to the Suns and their game plan. If you recall, their game plan when they traded Steve Nash over to the Lakers and they got the first-round picks back, we started hearing this term cap flexibility. And then they had all the incompetence within the organization that most of it's been blown out. Some of it's still there, but most of it's been blown out. So this summer, with all their flexibility and all their draft picks and all their space, the Suns have been able to acquire Isaiah Thomas, a backup point guard from the Sacramento Kings, and they've been able to acquire a small forward to replace Channing Frye, but they haven't been able to acquire a big-name free agent. As I've said, in being around the Valley for 20-plus years and seeing how big-name free agents used to line up at the doorstep to come to Phoenix, big-name free agents aren't doing that. And so now we're starting to hear the discussion about, well, when Kevin Durant's a free agent in 2016. The Suns may say, we're a better team. I don't see how they can prove that. Eric Bledsoe's not happy with his contract. Channing Frye is no longer with the team. Those two spots alone you have to look at. I can't see Bledsoe being here a year from now. I just can't. So they strike out on LeBron. That was a long shot. I gave them credit for at least attempting. They flew to Cleveland. They strike out on Kevin Love. At some point, you've got to find a way through all your assets to bring in a big-name player, and that'll be interesting to see what happens on that front. Reggie Gilbert's going to join us on the other side. Betty Fairfax High School Valley kid that's made it good in a big way here in Tucson, senior defensive lineman. He'll join us on the other side. Also later in the show, Trey Griffey will be coming on by, the redshirt sophomore wide receiver. Had a couple of touchdowns against BC last year, part of the deal here in Tucson. Matt Dudek's going to be with us, director of on-campus recruiting player personnel for U of A. I don't know, if Coach Rod comes by, we just had him on last week, but I may say hi to him. It's fine. We're in Tucson, Brad Susmat on Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic and White Mountain Radio.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
On the road, Sports360AZ. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We're on White Mountain Radio across the great state of Arizona. Brad Susmat with you in Tucson today. It's great to be here at the Lowell Stevens Football Facility, University of Arizona. Always hospitable, always great coming down here, and we appreciate their time and efforts that they put in. Reggie Gilbert's with us for a couple of minutes. So when Eric and I put the shows together, we look at local kids making good. When I say local, in-state kids, really. And Reggie, at Betty Fairfax High School, has come here. It's your senior year. It's time to go out on a high note. How different a player are you from when you first came here?
I would definitely say I'm more mature. You know, I came here as an 18-year-old, so now I'm 21. So I definitely think that I have matured, you know, on the field as well as off the field in those 3-4 years that I've been here.
You were a bucket head, right, when you got here?
I would, 18-year-old. I was definitely young and definitely new to this the whole real world, if you could say that.
How about just your level of play as a football player? If you talk about your maturity, you made a decision that I'm going to come here to Tucson, and it looks like you've really flourished. Just the decision on coming here, looking back on it.
We just have great coaching staff here. You know, great trainers and great managers around us that they definitely know how to develop their players. So I've just been listening to them, and whenever they need, like whenever they correct me. just try my best to not make the same mistake more than once.
And if you make the mistake more than once, what does Coach Rod say to you?
He's just going to get on you.
Yeah.
That's all.
That's it.
One thing with him, like, you never have to worry about coaches quitting on you. No, they're always going to believe in you. And I always look at it as the more the coach gets on you, that's the more that he cares. You know what I mean? You have to start worrying when they don't.
That's right.
Talk to you.
You're
going to
be a coach someday. You got that figured out. Hey, they don't say anything to me. I must be all right. No, it means you're just not. It's not
right.
Happening.
Yeah, exactly.
Reggie Gilbert with us for a couple of minutes here in Tucson. Your opener is 22 days away. What do you need to do before you get to the UNLV matchup?
Right now we're still in a camp phase, so we're not really game planning for UNLV right now. So I'm just working on it, just improving, just doing my part in the defense, you know, just helping bring the young guys up.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, just being a better defense as a whole.
And do you have a better feel about this defense? Because through the years of the Rich Rod era, it's gotten better and better and better. But are you where you need to be as an entire defense?
I wouldn't say right now we are. But like you said, we have a little bit over 3 weeks, you know, until the first game. But I'm definitely confident that we'll be where we need to be in the when we get to the first game. And I'm pretty sure that that we'll keep developing as the season goes on.
How's school going?
It's going great.
You're majoring in psychology.
Yes, sir.
What do you want to do with it?
I really don't know yet. I've looked at a career in maybe coaching as a possibility, or maybe something in marketing, or also something like law enforcement.
Hmm. Wow. Because psychology major, you can use that in sports for sure.
Right.
The mental side of sports and studying psychology, I'm sure, is fascinating.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Well, look, I appreciate you coming by for a couple of minutes. Best of luck to you two this year. It's good to see a local kid make it good.
All right, yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Reggie Gilbert, senior on the defensive line. Good job, man.
Right,
thanks for coming by for a couple of minutes. On the road at the Lowell Stevens Football Facility, Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ. I think in a few minutes, Matt Dudek's going to be with us. And we're going to talk with him about the program and recruiting and all of that. Also, as the show moves on, Trey Griffey's supposed to swing by as well. But I appreciate him coming by. So back on the schedule here, UNLV, Eric, I haven't heard anything about UNLV for the coming year. If UNLV is going to be...
Improving program, went to a bowl game last year. But again, like we talked about in the earlier segment, I mean, that's U of A should be 4-0. Their first Pac-12 game is Cal. That's a very winnable game.
What do you know about UTSA this year?
I know Larry Coker is their head coach.
Yeah,
next question.
That's it.
They play in a dome. Next question.
The river walks down there.
They probably recruit pretty well because Larry Coker is a good recruiter and they're in Texas. Next question.
The game's down there, too. That's what's odd to me. It's like, why would a Pac-12 school go to San Antonio? But that's just me. I'm not bagging on it. It's just, and then Nevada comes here. Now, Nevada is one of those programs that you can always say Colin Kaepernick.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know anything about Nevada this year?
No, and again, we're taking out the schedule and going win-loss, win-loss, win-loss. Well, what happens if in game two, U of A still doesn't have their quarterback situation taken care of?
Which I don't think they're going to. I think he's going to play it out.
Anything, college football, there's more parity now than ever. Unless you're an SEC team playing the proverbial November or October Sun Belt school, but you know, for the most part, there is weird things happen. So we can say on paper that the Cats should be 4-0, but you never know.
So they have to go to Pullman. They have a stretch here that if they get their quarterback situation figured out, they're going to be, in my view, they should be 4-0. They go to Oregon at Eugene. That's not going to be That's not going to be an easy game. So.
Mm-hmm.
They have USC here the following week. They have to go to Pullman after that, and then they have UCLA at Pasadena. I mean, that's three of four games, and then you've got to throw in the Pullman game, which you never know what that's going to look like.
Well, and the one thing with U of A that you can count on every year is they're going to beat somebody they're not supposed to. It happens every year in U of A football. The past few years, it's been Oregon. They've beaten UCLA. They've beaten USC. They're going to upset somebody. It's just, can you piece it all together and beat the schools you're supposed to?
Yeah.
So.
Well, and then we'll go through the rest of the schedule. We'll take a time out here. As we continue on in Tucson, Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio. Matt Dudek's going to join us on the other side, Director of On-Campus Recruiting, Player Personnel for the U of A. He's going to join us next as we continue on the road, on Sports 360 AZ, I'm Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
On the road, Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Matt Dudek joins us for a couple of minutes, director of on-campus recruiting, player personnel for the U of A. He puts on the headphones for a couple of minutes. Thanks for coming by in this facility, the Lowell Stevens Football Facility. So this doesn't suck.
No, this isn't bad at all. Don't get me wrong. I do miss my closet office. That was fun. I'm only 5'6", and I could put my hands on both sides of my office, which is really good. I know the players miss the dingy showers and the cockroaches, but you know we're really happy to be in this fantastic facility.
Okay, truth now.
Yes.
When you were in the dungeon.
Yes.
And you had a kid come through.
Yeah, no kid came through there. Yeah. No.
Did you ever even show them?
We always said it was under construction.
Ah.
Yes.
And it was always under construction.
It was always.
The door fell off.
Yes. Oh, you want to see the locker room? Yeah, we're meeting with a professor right now, but we'll get to that. No problem.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. and so now when you have players come through, mm-hmm. and you bring them through, this is just an amazing piece of property here.
Yes.
You can't get them out of here, probably.
Oh, no, it's fantastic. And you know, we spend a lot of time in the building, whereas before we didn't spend really any time in McHale, unless we were standing on the basketball court, to be 100% honest with you. And now, we're doing our academic meetings over here. We're taking them through the Sands Club, cafeteria, the weight room, and we spend a couple hours just walking through the building and explaining some of the history and tradition of Arizona, and this is where you'll be doing this, and this is where we'll be doing that, and really explain the program in the building. Whereas before, the first 2 years we were here, we really spent the time explaining the program on campus, standing on the mall, because that was the prettiest place to do it.
Yeah. Matt Dudek with us, director of on-campus recruiting. What does that mean?
It means that I handle all the recruitment. Everybody comes through my desk. I'm basically the logistics behind recruiting, I guess. I'm helping the coaches plan their schedules. I'm helping them keep track of guys on Twitter and Facebook. I do have communication with the guys through Twitter and Facebook, social media, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm the logistics behind it.
And you also have player personnel.
Yeah, so I also take care of the roster for Coach Rod, and when there's roster changes, the walk-on tryouts and things like that, I help out with that along with Jamal Dye. We work and basically manage the roster. You know, we're allowed 105 guys in camp right now, so a guy gets injured, mm-hmm. We got to bring another guy in, and then we're allowed 120 overall, so kind of managing all those guys.
How thick is the rule book?
Very thick. It's gotten thinner, but there's a lot of rules. You got to just know the ins and outs, the acclimatization period, for example, with the 105 guys. So you bring a guy in today, he has to be helmet for 2 days, shoulder pads and helmets for 2 days, and then he can go dress on the day with the team. So little stuff like that.
But that, you know, that's fascinating. It's like South Carolina got popped for a bunch of minor violations, mm-hmm. and one of them was a cake that towards a recruit. I'm sure you saw this last week. You probably see all of those stories.
Yes, yes.
And do you laugh? Do you shake your head? Do you say this is absurd? That's where you are. You got to say, hey, we want to give this guy a cake. Well, no, you can't do that.
Yep. I think you got to be somewhere in the middle. I think it's certainly there's some rules that are ridiculous. The NCAA has changed or made adaptations to. But I think it's if you get jammed up on something, know the rules. You know, I love to do everything we can right up to the line, but we're not going to cross any of those lines. And part of that is I know the rules better than I should. I know everything we're supposed to be doing, what we can and can't do. And if I have a question, I ask our compliance staff. They're fantastic. Hey, this is not really clear in the book. Tell me about this or that.
Social media.
Yes.
So have you said, guys, don't recruit this kid because this social media profile is a disaster?
I think we definitely take a look at it. The coaches do a great job on social media too, but we 100% follow that, and I go, hey, I print out some stuff in the staff and go, look what this kid posted over the last week. I mean, this is not an OKG. This is not a guy that we want on our team. Now, whether we drop him fully or talk to the kid, maybe he just likes attention or whatever, but we follow up on it for sure.
Hmm. See, I think that is one of the – when you are given a phone that's really a Maserati.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't get an instruction book on what to say and what not to say, mm-hmm. that a guy like you and coaching staff, but if you're the one that's following all this, yep. you're one that can make a real tough decision for a kid they'll regret the rest of their life that they don't even – why did U of A drop me? Why are they not recruiting me? Because you screwed up on your social media profile.
Yeah. Just think about, you know, these scholarships are worth $100,000, sometimes more if you're out of state and things like that. And because of a Twitter post, you're going to lose that $100,000. I mean, if you put it in those kind of perspectives, a kid, they go, wow, I mean, that's God. I mean, maybe I won't quote rap lyrics anymore, or maybe I won't talk about women that way or whatever the case may be. And that's, you know, you try to educate them because they're kids, but at the end of the day, too, it's, you know, we're feeding all of our families off these kids, too.
Sure, sure. Matt Dudek, Director of On-Campus Recruiting Player Personnel for U of A, with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes here, Sports 360 AZ and AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio. Before I let you go, then, do you have a favorite player that you've seen roll through that had the toughest of toughest? Because you're the guy that would see the toughest of toughest.
Sure.
And then you see them on the backside as they go through.
Yeah.
And they come out and you're like, you know what? I made a difference.
Yeah, no, I've been lucky. It's going to my ninth season back at Pitt and Rutgers as well. I've been lucky with a lot of those stories. You know, there's certainly the LeSean McCoys of the world, but, you know, Jason Pinkston, for example, he's made news this week with the Cleveland Browns where he's had to retire because of a blood condition. But that's a guy who was tough out of high school, you know, had some family issues, you know, mom passing away and things. But, you know, seeing and being able to help with those guys and be there when they need you and just, you know, celebrating their success, there's been a ton of guys. I mean, plenty of guys on this team. You know, when Coach Rodriguez gives a walk on a scholarship, that's always a pretty fun thing for the staff. I can't say there's one specific guy that I'm like, this is the guy that I feel like he's been, it's always on my mind, but everybody has a story. If you're a walk-on or you're the starting quarterback, everybody has a story, and it's nice to see those stories unfold.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you mentioned LeSean McCoy off the top.
Yeah,
you know, what was his story?
You know, he came off a really bad knee injury, had to go to a prep school and rehab it off surgery, and then he came down to Pitt and, you know, and just really dominated on the football field. He was a fantastic kid, really outgoing. Exactly what he is now, he certainly is. Yeah. Was in college. You know, he was fun to be around, but he's one of my more entertaining guys I've had for sure.
Yeah. Good stuff. I appreciate you coming
by.
No
problem. Man. Thank you for having me. Yes, sir.
Sure, sure. No worries. Matt Dudek there, Director of On-Campus Recruiting Player Personnel for the U of A for a couple of minutes. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We're on White Mountain Radio, and we're on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. We're going to have Trey Griffey here in about 20 minutes, just after the top of the hour. So let me go back on some other things that are going on here in the middle of the day. On the college football front, there's a story that I saw this morning from Bill Snyder. Now, Bill Snyder at Kansas State is, Eric, we'd have to say Bill Snyder is probably one of the most difficult people to deal with from a media standpoint. Fans don't care about that.
He's just bland. I mean, he's not going to be Mr. Personality.
The last Fiesta Bowl that he was at, he was just difficult, yeah. I found. And so Bill Snyder, but he is a voice that has been in college football for a long, long time.
Sure, and his resume speaks for itself. I mean,
sure.
Doing what he has done at Kansas State is pretty incredible.
So Bill Snyder went on a rant about the big-time nature of college athletics as Kansas State opened football camp last night, talking about the way that universities have sold out in the search of the almighty dollar. During a lengthy oration in which the 74-year-old coach planned to discuss the upcoming season, Bill Snyder said that TV has assumed too much control of college sports. Education has become a second thought, and the entire endeavor distorts the value of young people. Quote, it's changed. I mean, college athletics, football in particular, has changed dramatically over the years, Snyder said. I think we've sold out. We're all about dollars and cents. The concept of college football no longer has any bearing on the quality of the person, the quality of students. Universities are selling themselves out. So he went further to say it's no longer about education. We've sold out to the cameras over there, and TV has made its way. And I don't fault TV. I don't fault whoever broadcasts games. They have to make a living. That's what they do. But athletics, that's it. It's sold out. It's hard for me to disagree with him, and I've been accused of being very cynical here in the last couple of years. I've had some people have said, you used to be such a fan of sports. I'm still a fan of sports. But I will tell you that in 20 years plus and seeing where things are, and this is not get off my lawn guy coming out here. This is just me seeing how it's changed so much. And the television side of it, Bill Snyder does not like to play very tough teams in non-conference. That's been no secret. He's in a tough conference. He talks about players coming on campus, the concept of college football no longer has any bearing on the quality of the person, the quality of students. I think he's taking shots at those within his own conference. His conference has slipped. If you're talking about the best of the best of college football, you would have to say SEC and Pac-12. Top to bottom, SEC, Pac-12. The bottom feeders of the Pac-12, I think, could beat most of the bottom feeders from the SEC. The Big 12 can give you a good game or two, but I don't think that the Big 12 overall has near the depth. So he's in a conference that isn't viewed as the top any longer. It's just my opinion on this. When he says it's no longer about education, I don't think you can make a blanket statement about that. It depends on each kid.
And each school. Tell that to Stanford.
Well, but you know what, though, Eric? There's people that say Stanford has compromised their integrity, that they found ways now to take kids academically that have no business being at Stanford, that the rules have changed even with Stanford. My thing is, when the Pac-12 plays Arizona State basketball on every day of the week last season during conference,
yep,
that's flat-out wrong to those kids. It's flat-out wrong.
Or going to Oregon and having 5 days between games.
It's flat-out wrong.
I agree.
So there are situations where I would agree with what Bill Snyder had to say. We were at the Pac-12 meetings at the Biltmore when the basketball and football coaches were there, and the basketball coaches were really not happy with the way that the schedule's laid out. Sean Miller here even talked about it. So I think that there's some truth into what he is saying. But for the most part, these 105 kids that are here at the U of A are still having an opportunity to get an education, play a sport, and to do so in an environment that they will look back on their lives and say, man, I was pretty lucky. I was pretty blessed. And it's not just these 105 football players. It's the softball team that's down here. It's the baseball team that's down here. It's all the other sports, all the Olympic sports too. I don't know. Bill Snyder sounds a little bit like a guy that is in Manhattan, Kansas, who doesn't like being in the big city. And the big city and the bright lights. And, yeah, television has made its way into everything. Is that so bad? Is it so bad that I can say I want to open my own broadcast company because I see opportunities in the college sphere because there's not enough attention being given to college athletics in this day and age of let's do nothing but NFL all day and all night, which I don't agree with that concept.
I'd love to get Steve Patterson and Bill Snyder in a room. They would have a pretty interesting conversation about the state of college sports and the pecking order at universities when it comes to football, basketball, and then everything else, and then Snyder's take of what you said earlier in the segment about how TV is too involved, and it'd be interesting, especially now that Steve Patterson has to deal with the Longhorn Network in Austin.
Did you see Darren Rovell's tweet? So Darren Rovell's a business editor for ESPN, for those who don't know. Did you see his tweet yesterday about how the numbers came out for merchandising sales last year?
I did not.
Number one college for merchandise being sold was, and you will be, I think you'll be surprised.
Okay, then I don't know.
Texas.
Really?
For a football program that was awful, okay?
The brand.
It's the brand.
It's the brand. It's the Longhorn. It's the Burt Orange.
It is. And when I heard that, and he was going through the other programs, I've got it somewhere, but it's not on my fingertips. He had Tennessee. Tennessee was like 12th.
I was going to say like Alabama or USC would have been my two guesses.
Yeah, but he was going through some of these schools. Texas A&M has moved into the top 10. The real estate you want to be in when it comes to fandom is in the top 10. Means you're moving merchandise out right and left, and you're able to have people take your brand and push it out there. For Texas to be number one, think about it. They were bad in football. They were bad in basketball. They weren't good in baseball.
I wouldn't say they were bad in basketball. They made it to the second round of the NCAA tournament.
They weren't great.
They weren't up to Texas standards when it comes to basketball, certainly in football.
Okay, they were okay.
They're okay.
I don't. When people say, "Well, if you make the tournament, that's a good year," I don't buy that anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, Texas is a football school. Like basketball's big, but it's nothing like Texas football, obviously. So
on the other side, so we're gonna get back into this Kevin Love deal and the LeBron James addition, and a little bit more on the Suns, because I didn't get into that as much as I want to earlier. We're on the road. We've got a lot of college football on our minds today. We're in Tucson. the Lowell Stevens football facility here at the University of Arizona. The Wildcats getting ready their opening matchup against UNLV. It's just over 3 weeks away. For you Cats fans, thanks for being with us. A lot of action on Twitter today. And for bitter ASU fan, deal with it. Next week, I'll get crushed by the U of A fan saying, oh, you're a Camp Tonizona. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of fun to be up along a stream and ride a horse after I do a show. It's my show. I can pick where I want to be. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, and White Mountain Radio. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. We're at the Lowell Stevens Football Facility in Tucson. Doing our thing here today, back in studio tomorrow. Next week, we will be up at Camp Tonizona with Arizona State football for a few shows up there. At the PGA Championships right now, Lee Westwood is atop the leaderboard. Jim Furyk, former Wildcat, former U of A, getting it done. He's at -4 with one hole to go. Tiger has finished the day with a 74. Phil is hanging around. Phil's shot a 69 today. So I like that spot. This is shaping up to be interesting. We had Gary McCord on with us earlier in the week. And Gary was talking about how this year in the PGA Tour, it's been boring. And so we have Tiger out there trying to gut his way through, shot a 74. Phil's hanging around. I'd like to see Jim Furyk do well. I like Jim Furyk. There are golfers, you know, when it comes to individual sports, I'm one of those guys that likes to see the player do well. I don't care who wins the games. I really don't. Just give me good stories. Give me competitive games. And if I don't have competitive games and I've got to get on a plane and fly, or if I've got to drive somewhere to see a game that's a blowout or there's not good stories attached, then I'm going to be pretty disappointed and a pretty grumpy sportscaster. So you know, I'm hoping for a good leaderboard this weekend. I'm going to be in Chicago this weekend. I'm taking my daughter off to college this weekend. This is an emotional. Have you noticed? I've been weepy on the air, have I?
No, but I mean, you told me the other day you drove by Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport and started crying. So I mean, it's kind of.
Well, you don't have to tell everybody that.
It's kind of typical of you. You tell me I'm Mr. Emotional.
I see how this works.
Sometimes you know you should look in the mirror when it comes to your own emotions.
So I
know when I left and I got married and I went on my honeymoon, you cried, you missed me. It's
no, you're swimming with turtles. It's fine.
Yeah, I know.
It's fine. And
you do
you're
on
the camera. You're your GoPro.
Of course. Well, I am a multimedia journalist here with Sports360AZ.com.
You came back with this big old rock
on
your finger.
Yeah,
it's weighing you down.
It's not really a rock. It's just a band.
No, but I don't know if I'm going to – I'm going to be in Chicago and I've got to check her into her dorm.
You're going to ball.
You think?
Correct.
What are you talking about?
Your wife will be the strong one, and you'll be like, no,
don't leave.
Anyway,
I'll be a mess at the airport.
Getting back to your story.
No, but my thing is, there'll be some point this weekend, because we're spending the weekend in Chicago. There'll be some point this weekend after I get done bawling my eyes out and sucking on my thumb like a little baby and loading up her room and making sure she's good that my wife and I are going to drive away. And I'll probably need to go somewhere in order to get myself right again, and I want to go watch the golf tournament. Golf is therapeutic for me. Golf is. I can sit there. I'm one of these guys that can sit there, down a beer, and watch golf and think it's kind of cool. A lot of people hate golf on television, and this year I haven't been doing much of that because it's like I don't want to see a leaderboard that has a bunch of guys I've never heard of.
Correct, or even Lee Westwood. No offense to Lee Westwood.
What are you talking about? Lee Westwood's great. He's awesome. I love Lee Westwood. He shot a 65. I'm into Lee Westwood.
Good for him.
No, but listen here, good for him. I can tell you're not going to be a part of that this weekend. But no, so I'm glad that the leaderboard is good. I'm rooting. It's one of the few times you and I have had this discussion where you think it's kind of weird that I don't root. And like you, when TCU plays football games, you have to be by yourself with nobody around you. I think that's rather odd.
Yeah, I know. I know.
And it's your deal.
It's you have passion for certain things in your life, and one of my great passions is college football, and I went to TCU, I have an emotional attachment even though I never stepped foot on the field.
So what's funny is Eric and I get down here to set up today, and the first thing he does is goes out and does some social media stuff, which is fine. And you walked out. It looks like from your picture you almost walked out onto the field.
Yes, I walked down from the Lowell Stevens football facility to the ground level, which is right down from where our broadcast setup is. I just took a shot of the stadium.
But did you have any inclination to run out onto the field?
No, I didn't think about tearing down a goalpost or anything like
that. One of our funniest moments so far in Sports 360 AZ's history was having Gray Rugemer and Scott Peters come down here for a show with us. And they were trying their hand at shooting some content, and they both raced out onto the field with nobody there to shoot something. I forget even what it was.
Yeah, two former ASU linemen
running around down on the field in Tucson. And I'm doing the show, and U of A's catered food over to us, and they're like, "You guys need anything?" And I'm like, "Oh, that's great. You guys are great. This is fine. This is great."
Yeah, who are those two knuckleheads down the field? Oh, don't worry about them. Don't worry about them.
Two dopes start running around down on the field at the 50-yard line. They're trying to shoot something. And what I'm envisioning is security running in, tackling them, and that they're going to come up to us and say, "You are never welcome back here again," which is fine. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. This morning, I had a Santan Ford moment with Eric. Eric and I had a moment today. We met up to drive down here together. We're very economical, very smart in what we do. And unfortunately for me, my freeway was completely jammed up by an accident, so I had to go to the surface streets. I have the navigation. I have the sync support that actually tells me where the accidents are and how to navigate through to get to Eric. I get to Eric. I'm thinking at first, we might be late. I was even telling Eric that. And this is going to come down to the wire getting on the air today. But the navigation system, I made up some time. Came down here. My wife checked in with me on some things on the sync support system. I wasn't holding a phone up to my ear. Guys, you don't need to take your life into jeopardy by doing that. It's just not smart. And with the sync support system, you give the voice commands of the directions you need to go. It helps me go through my day in my work. How about you? Are you driving that vehicle that makes a lot of sense for you? It's at the good people at Santan Ford, where it's all about you. The Fusion makes a lot of sense for me. That's at Santan Ford. Just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista, Santan Ford. So the Kevin Love trade, let's go back on this. The deal, if you're just joining us, is now being reported as done. It's not going to be announced until the middle part or late part of August. There's a trade moratorium for players that come in the draft. And the deal is done, with Kevin Love joining LeBron James. It will be the number one overall pick, Andrew Wiggins, the second-year forward, Anthony Bennett, who was the number one overall pick, and a protected 2015 first-round draft pick to the Timberwolves. All the Cavs get out of this is Kevin Love. Love can opt out of his contract next summer, and then he'll re-sign with them. Wiggins was, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, dead square in most everything that has been discussed involving Kevin Love. The Timberwolves gave the Cavs permission to negotiate a contract with Love several weeks ago, according to the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Ray Allen has now been made aware of the Cavs' position of wanting him to join the team.
Of course.
Of course he is. And so you're loading all this in and looking at it. And I said earlier, I'm disappointed that the Suns have not been able to use what they said as their assets to go out and make something happen. We've heard about cap flexibility. I've bought into cap flexibility. I think cap flexibility is great. I'm not ripping on the Suns for that. I bought into all the draft picks that they stockpiled. I think that's great, too. Where the Suns went off the tracks on this whole great game plan, though, in my opinion, is they held on to some of their assets too long. If you remember, and I hate doing this. Do you remember when I said this? It just sounds, but it's true. I was on the trade Steve Nash bandwagon in 2010 and 2011. And I had people that said, "You are high. You don't know what you're talking about. You've been nipping on the cooking sherry. Why would we trade Steve Nash?" Because the window had closed to win a title. Amari had left. The window was gone. And I felt at the time you could trade Grant Hill and get good value, and you could trade Steve Nash and get good value. And what did the Suns do? They didn't do anything with either one of them. And what happened to the Suns? They became this old team that was only concerned about filling the bottom bowl with season ticket holders rather than trying to win a title. So now here's a team like Cleveland that went out and got really bad, and now they're using all their assets of being really bad, and all of a sudden the Cavaliers are set up for probably the next 5 years.
Dave Griffin, talk about a great offseason. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, no, he's
seriously. I mean, like, it's just raining greatness right now in Cleveland.
Yeah.
LeBron James, check. Kevin Love, check. Maybe Sean Marion, check. Maybe Ray Allen, check.
Wait, so you put all that stuff together, and if you're the Suns, the only way you're going to be able to do what the Cavaliers are doing is through time. Time is the only way that you're going to be able to get out of this mess. And you have to hope that the players that you drafted with these first-round picks, not the ones that we've seen in previous years, Markieff Morris is not ever going to equate to bringing a star player here.
No.
He's not.
He's a good player. That's all he is.
That's all he is. So you've in a first-round pick in Markieff Morris, you've basically missed because he's not going to develop into something that's high-end. Archie Goodwin. Archie Goodwin is a fine young player, but he's not going to develop, in my humble opinion, into somebody that you could say, we'll give you a first-round pick, and we'll give you Archie Goodwin, and we can parlay that into something as major as what we saw out of Cleveland. My point on this is, while the Cavaliers have been in jail by being a bad franchise, they've been able to take all of the assets that they've acquired by being bad and turn them into something really, 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 really good.
And on the surface, Brad, this is a great trade for the Cavs.
Oh, my gosh.
Kevin Love is 25 years old.
Oh,
Anthony Bennett was the number one pick 2 years ago.
Shouldn't have been the number one pick.
He could be a good player, but never a great player. And with Andrew Wiggins, who knows? He's never played a single minute of real NBA basketball. And the Cavs land a top.
He's one of the top 10 players in the league.
There's no doubt.
Maybe even higher than
Before his prime, technically. I mean, he's really not even in his prime at 25.
And when people say, well, he's never won anything, I don't know. When you look at who he's been surrounded by in Minnesota, you're not going to win much either. You know, so I'm going over on the Suns on this, that the assets that they have to work with are nothing more than future ones and cap space. That's great. But you've got to have some players that have developed or have some marketability if you want to go be that team that pursues high-end players. And they haven't done it. They haven't done it. And because of that, I think that, you know, I've used the term Suns are stuck in the ditch. I think the Suns are stuck in the ditch for now a few more years at minimum. This belief that they're going to turn things around this year, Bledsoe's unhappy. He's going to come into camp and he's going to say all the right things. Yeah, it's great to be here. No, it's not.
I don't know why he's unhappy.
You've already shown your cards.
I don't get it. Why are you unhappy?
Look, it's this simple. If I told you, Eric, you're the greatest ever. You're the best at what you do. And, you know, I'm paying you what I'm paying you. Go out there on the open market and you think you're worth 20 times, 10 times more. And then you go on the open market and nobody makes you an offer.
Not one.
Then you come back, and you're like, well, I still don't think I'm being paid what I should be getting paid. You're going to, in the back of your mind, you're not going to be all in, right?
No, and especially when you have your agents talking in your ear about you're the greatest. It's not a you problem. It's a Suns problem.
You have LeBron's agent. I am mini LeBron. All this mini LeBron nonsense that was circulating around, all this mini LeBron stuff that was being talked about, I mean, these people that do shows and say, well, he's a mini LeBron, he's awesome, he's this. No, now that's all coming back to roost. That's why it's just imperative when you go all in with these guys that you slow the train down. It was like people were shocked Channing Frye left. Oh, Channing Frye. Why would Channing Frye? Channing Frye is St. Mary's. He's U of A. He's such a good guy. And boy, he's been a big part of the Suns. No, because you guys drug your feet and you were looking at other things and you weren't looking at him. So he said, I'm out of here.
Plus he got paid.
He got
ching,
paid.
Ching,
and
ching.
I'm not bitter at the Suns on that one.
No.
But
he got overpaid.
But if you look at their roster, my point in this is you see how Cleveland has been able to parlay all their assets into something. What do the Suns have in the way of assets other than Gordon? Even Bledsoe now, because Bledsoe has let it out there.
Right.
That
he's
want
damaged.
To get paid.
He's damaged in a way.
He's
in
damaged
a way.
Because any team is going to say, well, I don't know if we should touch him. Because look at
no one else did.
Nobody else did. And look what happened in Phoenix. So when you're putting all this together for the Suns, Yeah, I can talk about what happened in Cleveland and Minnesota. Minnesota came out great in this deal, I think. They're going to lose love anyway.
True. They got something for them.
They needed to get something. They got quite a bit, I think.
We'll see.
Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We're on the road in Tucson. Brad Sussmat with you. Trey Griffey is going to join us on the other side. Stay with us. Off we go to hour number two, Brad Sussmat on Sports 360 AZ. AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio. We partner with the Arizona Republic as well. Thanks for being with us. As we are doing the show today here at the U of A, 22 days away from the Wildcats opener against UNLV. Talking some U of A football today. For you ASU fans that are on my butt about being here, just relax. All right? This show is all about statewide. I can be here in Tucson, and then I'll go up and be at Camp Tonizona, and the U of A people will be all bent out of shape, and it's fine. It's fine. It's just doing college football. This is not brain surgery. It's sports. Trey Griffey joins us now for a couple of minutes. Redshirt sophomore wide receiver for the University of Arizona Wildcats. Yes, his father and his grandfather are the Griffeys, and that's not, it's great. I'm not going to do that interview. How many times have you done that interview?
A couple times.
Yeah. Is there anything new to that story, or?
No, not really. That's my grandfather and my dad, really.
That's it.
Yeah.
They come down here much?
Yeah, they do. Grandfather's always in Phoenix, and dad flies in every game, so that's perfect.
How's this worked out for you, Tucson, U of A?
Worked out pretty well. Familiar with the Arizona area as far as being in the Phoenix area, being in Peoria with the Seattle Mariners, their training camp and everything being there. So pretty much familiar with the temperature and everything, the heat.
Yeah, yeah. You, you've got a lot of talent, wide receiver. My goodness. I mean, if you look at, you know, people are making a big deal. We were out at Media Day in L.A. last week, and it was all about the quarterback, 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 and I had Coach Rod on, and we chat quite often, and I'm kind of burned out on that. That thing's going to take care of itself. But how do you do separation with all the wide receivers? Because all of you bring different traits, different skills at that position. There's like 8 or 9 of you.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Tell me about that a little bit.
Basically, we just, you know, push each other. You know, just push each other, learn from what other people are doing. You know, Caleb's, you know, good at something. David's good at something. So, you know, we all bring something to the table. So the best thing for us to do is learn from each other and try to pick up what other people are good at.
And Austin being back.
It's great, Austin being back. Yeah. We really missed him last year. So.
Does he look any different?
Austin looks a lot stronger, honestly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, everybody will get to see that the first game. You know, the first game a couple of years ago when he was playing, mm-hmm. you know, he put on a show. So, you know, we're excited for him to come back.
We're talking with Trey Griffey, the redshirt sophomore wide receiver for the University of Arizona Wildcats. Brad Sussmat in Tucson at the Lowell Stevens football facility. Devontae Neal is somebody that a lot of the audience is familiar with up at Chaparral High. What have you seen out of Devontae?
Devontae, a big leader, honestly. Vocal leader. You know, he's helping out the freshmen a lot. You know, he's also, you know, meeting with everybody, just, you know, picking up everything as far as being in the slot and also an outside receiver.
He's going to do some running back, too, I heard.
Yeah.
He's going to be holding. He's going to be punt returning.
Devontae's doing a lot. but, you know, he's athletic. So, you know, it's you know, a great opportunity for him as far as being in the positions that he's in right now. So, you know, it'll really help out the team.
Yeah, Nate Phillips had a big season last year, too.
Definitely.
And he's dinged up his shoulder right now. But and that's my point is, I don't know if I'm leaving anybody out. They moved Cameron Denson, who was a top recruit, over to corner because there was so much depth. As a group, is there one of those players within the wide receiving group that you look at and say, this is somebody, Brad, to keep an eye on this season?
Honestly, everybody. Honestly, you know, some people have good games, some people have bad games. But, you know, that's the job of the receiver corps as far as to pick each other up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're really key on that. And, you know, as far as picking up the offense and, you know, also when we're, you know, not on the field, you know, cheering up the defense. So, you know, it's just as a team effort, trying to keep everybody in the game, you know, and stay focused.
How about for you? You had a couple touchdowns in the bowl game. Where are you at in all this? I mean, I know you like talking about your teammates, and I'm sensing – Brad, I'm not going down anything about me very much, right?
Yeah.
Where do you see yourself on all this?
Just basically wherever I fit in. As far as, you know, I'm always push myself. You know, the coaches will push me. But, you know, just do whatever I can to help out the team, whether, you know, it's on kickoff, kickoff return, just anything. Just whatever I can do to help the team.
I had Austin last week out at Media Day, and I said, I got to get the quarterback stuff out of the way, and I'm only going to put it to him this way is, are you comfortable catching balls from some guys more than others? He said, yeah, there's two or three, and that's all that he had to say. Mm-hmm. I'll put it to you the same way. Do you have a comfort level with some of these quarterbacks more than others?
To an extent, I do, but you also have to learn from all the quarterbacks, just like they're trying to learn how the receivers run the route.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as we're trying to pick up on them, what they do every time, you know, once they go into a drop, how they throw the ball and everything, they have to pick up off us, you know, how we run our routes, how fast we come out our routes, and just basically our tendencies that we have.
I'm curious on this front, when you line up against your defense, what do you see out of that side of the football? Because I'm getting the corner is one area of concern coming into this season. That's why they put Cameron over there, and they're looking at some other players. When you're lining up against your defense, how do you feel about it?
Our defense, you know, we've been going against them for, since, you know, they put in their defense 3 years. So they basically know what we're doing, and we know what they're doing. So mm-hmm. it's
– Can't get a true read.
Yeah, well, you kind of can, but, you know, they try to hide – you know, their coverages, and we try to, you know, hide our plays that we're doing, but, you know, both of us know, both sides know what the other side is doing, so.
Is there a reason to be concerned, you think, on that side?
No, there's no reason.
Okay. School. Tell me about school.
School's actually good. Going into my junior year.
You majoring in arts and sciences, last I saw, or?
Right now, undecided. Still undecided. Hopefully try to, you know, make this decision by December, so.
If football went away, what would you do?
Possibly going to coaching. Just any kind of coaching as far as sports-wise. Pretty familiar with the sports field, so.
Yeah.
Going into that.
I'd say so. We were talking off the field about, or off the air about, you're close with Shane Larkin.
Yeah.
So why didn't you go into basketball? Why not go into any other sport? Given your heritage, lineage, I mean.
It was. As far as baseball-wise, I was around baseball majority of my life. So, you know, it was really just, you know, I love baseball, but it's just not the love that I have for football.
Right.
I started off not really liking football my first, like.
When'd you start?
When I was 7.
Okay.
So I really didn't like it.
Shane was your quarterback?
Yeah,
Shane Larkin?
Shane Larkin was my quarterback.
You guys didn't lose a game then at 7 years old, right?
We were really good, honestly. we were really keyed off of, you know, going into the playoffs with at least one loss. No, that's at least. You know, we did that a couple times, and other times we were undefeated going into the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, it was a great time. And then
you were a wide receiver then, too?
No, I was a running back, linebacker.
Nobody caught you?
When I was younger, yeah.
Really? Here's once, the thing. Go ahead.
Once I started getting a little bit older, people started to catch up and speed change and everything.
What's funny is just talking with you, you said your vertical is 32. I was surprised by that. Shane's at, what, 40-something?
Yeah, it's a little bit different. As far as they're worried about jumping how high, we're worried about power.
Right.
So it's a little bit of a difference.
What can you do that he can't athletically?
Shane can do a lot. I've seen him do a windmill dunk. I can't do that yet. I'm working on it.
But what can you do he can't? Probably the power then, right? If you were to go in the weight room with him, you'd crush him in the weight room.
I don't know about crush him. I haven't seen him lift. But, you know, we'll see once I go back to Orlando, Florida. So,
yeah,
you know, we'll see.
Well, good luck this year. You sound like you're quietly confident about the season and your teammates, and it'll be good to watch you this year. I appreciate you coming by.
Thank you.
Thanks, Trey.
Thank you.
Trey Griffey for a couple of minutes. Good luck to him this season. U of A, very nice to have us come down and do the show today. Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports. We're on White Mountain Radio. We're on Twitter as well, at Brad Sesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. And a lot of different directions that they can go with this season. And appreciate Trey coming by. We had Reggie Gilbert on earlier, and Matt Dudek came by as well. So I saw Coach Rod last week doing the show out at Pac-12 Football Media Day. We had a terrific conversation just about where things are as a program, and we got through all the stuff about the quarterbacks. But as you look at the year ahead here in Tucson, there is a much different attitude, I think, than we've been coming down here for. I've been coming down here for 15, 20 years, and football is just kind of sort of something to do outside of when it's basketball season. There's two seasons down here. There's Midnight Madness and there's basketball season. At least that's how it used to be. I'm starting to sense, and Eric, you've been here your entire life, that football, there's more of a commitment. This building alone speaks to how much more of a commitment that there is.
Sure. Two 8-win seasons, two bowl victories. We won't talk about how they've done against their neighbors to the north, but yeah, they definitely...
Oh, come on. Why did you have to get that in there?
Well, that's... It's
just enough.
It's important. It's not the end of the world, but it's important.
You can see it from there.
When you're recruiting, I think when you're recruiting kids in state, how much do you think ASU leans on the fact that, well, you're also getting recruited by U of A? Well, we beat them the last 2 years.
But why does that matter to a kid? Seriously, doesn't a kid? I'll disagree with you on that. A kid looks at playing time. What color jerseys do you have?
To a certain extent.
How much television time am I going to get? I don't think they look at
stadiums.
Stadiums, yeah. I mean, if you don't have facilities. But I don't think they look at, well, you know, why would you go there because we beat them? You disagree with me on that?
It's always, what have you done for me lately? That's that. That
well, that applies in this business.
Especially for kids in Arizona. I mean, when you're recruiting, it can get so heated. You're trying to get every little tiny advantage you can if you're going head-to-head with your rival on a big-time recruit. And it's going to get to the point soon where Todd and Coach Rod are going to be going head-to-head. Maybe not this year, maybe not next year, but you can see the influx of Arizona kids.
Oh, I think I'll disagree with you on that. I'll disagree with you on that. So there was a quarterback, Zach Werlinger.
Sure, for Basha.
Basha High. Of course, I know those kids. Zach was pushed hard to come as a walk-on by Coach Norvell, Coach Graham, Coach Rod. He was even pushed hard by some other schools. ACU went after him. Coach Yantis went after him. He talked to everybody in state, and he decided to come here. He has a legal background, or wants to have a legal he's interested in law. Let me put it that way. And so he decides to come here, and they already have 7 quarterbacks. But it was one of those deals where, and he's a great student. This, he felt, was the best place to come to. I don't know if it's...
But he's not a top recruit. He's not a top...
Should have been.
He's not a top...
It's not Christian Kirk. Recruit. I get it. And Christian Kirk listed ASU as one of his final 6. That story's up on sports360az.com. I'm Brad Sussmat from Tucson. Thanks for being with us.